From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, January 23rd, 2018. On this day, Jackman's town manager was fired this morning after white separatist, anti-Muslim, and anti-feminist remarks. And we'll look at how Maine's solar power industry is reacting to President Trump's decision to put a tariff on imported solar panels. That's all ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org. And by Lee Auto Malls, four generations serving Mainers since 1936, 19 Maine locations, and at leeauto.com.
Late last week, we learned some things about Jackman Town Manager Tom Kaczynski, specifically that he holds white separatist, anti-Islam, and anti-feminist views and has publicly expressed those views online. Now, Kaczynski's been fired. After meeting behind closed doors, selectmen reached an agreement to part ways with him. He says his fight has just begun. Susan Sharon has more.
It was standing room only in the Jackman Town office when selectmen returned from an hour-long private meeting with Kaczynski. And in minutes, the short-lived saga that put the western Maine border town in an unwanted spotlight was over. Alan Duplessis offered a motion to terminate Kaczynski's employment agreement without cause, effective immediately.
And that the town pay an additional settlement amount of $30,000 upon his signing a waiver and release, agreeing not to take any recourse or make any legal claim against the town of Jackman or its select board.
One member of the audience let out a small cheer. Others say they're relieved that Jackman can get back to its regular business. The town has been under intense scrutiny in the press and on social media ever since Kaczynski's efforts to create a white homeland were made public. Longtime resident Connie Gay says she turned out to stand up against hatred.
When he put in a Bangor paper that Jackman didn't want Islamic people and to segregate and everything, that is so wrong.
Resident Bill Frawley and Barbara Connard say they think the settlement is the best possible outcome for the town, even the $30,000 payment to Kaczynski.
It's unfortunate, but it's, as we were just saying, it's probably as much
it's
as
like
we'd have to pay an attorney.
If he tried to fight it,
we'd pay an attorney to fight it anyway.
It's a good buyout.
And the bad publicity is over with right away. Hopefully it's a quick turnaround.
Kaczynski has held the post of town manager for the past 7 months at a salary of about $49,000. But town attorney Warren Shea said Kaczynski was still on probation, which meant selectmen could dismiss him during that time.
He was originally a probationary employee, was extended long before this came up, and so they had some reservations, and they chose at this point, with him in an agreement, to terminate the agreement without cause.
Speaking to reporters and residents after the meeting, Tom Kaczynski said he's not giving up his fight for free speech and civil rights. I lost a job today, he said, but I gained a cause.
You have not had a voice up until now. I will speak for you. I am not a perfect man. I have many flaws. I have said things I regret, but I do not regret this fight for one moment. And this is just beginning.
Kaczynski declined to say whether he would remain in Jackman, although some residents, like Bob Foster, would prefer he go elsewhere.
I'm not in favor of this person being here. If I was him, he's not welcome. He should realize that and go someplace else to try his little experiment.
Town officials say they will hire an outside firm to begin the search for the next town manager. And several residents say they also welcome that move, to make sure that the next candidate is thoroughly vetted. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
Governor Paul LePage has nominated a hydrogeologist, to the citizen board that enforces and interprets Maine's environmental laws. Mark Dubois works for Poland Spring, the largest producer of spring water in the country, and his nomination to the Board of Environmental Protection is generating opposition from groups who worry his appointment could grease the wheels for the company's aggressive expansion plans. Steve Missler has more.
Poland Spring is owned by Nestle Waters, a multinational corporation that's seen its stock prices rise along with the demand for bottled water. In 2016, the company's water sales yielded $16 billion, and for the first time, outpaced soda sales by volume. But that growth hasn't come without local resistance from people like Nikki Sakara, a Freiburg resident who worries that the company is siphoning a valuable resource from the public while paying little for it.
I think this appointment is a really bad idea for the state of Maine, considering the imbalance of power that Nestle as a corporation brings to the table in our rural state.
Sakara co-founded Community for Water Justice, the same group that's asking lawmakers to reject the governor's nomination of Mark Dubois to the BEP's 7-member board. The group has sent letters to members of the legislature's Environment and Natural Resources Committee, arguing that Dubois' appointment to the board would create a fox-in-the-henhouse situation for Poland Spring and Nestle. Dubois' confirmation hearing is Wednesday. If the committee recommends his approval to the BEP, he'll stand a good chance of getting confirmed by the full Senate. And right now, the prospects for his confirmation look good.
So we have made some very strong conflict of interest laws.
Republican State Senator Tom Sabiello of Wilton says Maine has laws to guard against situations in which Dubois would be a decisive vote in a BEP matter involving Poland Spring and Nestle. If there's a conflict with a Nestle or a Poland Spring project, Sabiello says Dubois would simply recuse himself. He says that's what other members of the BEP have done in the past, and that's what he expects Dubois would do if confirmed by the legislature.
This is not about Nestle's. This is not about Poland Springs. This is about somebody going on to the Board of Environmental Protection that has background and experience, and he has that.
My first belief is the governor gets who he wants unless that person is unqualified.
Democratic Representative Bob Duchesne of Hudson says he believes that Dubois is a qualified pick for BEP. And while Duchesne says he understands the conflict of interest argument, he isn't persuaded Dubois would influence the board's decisions that may involve Nestle or Poland Spring.
I think there's also an awful lot of confusion about what the board is and does. They do not make policy. They merely interpret what the legislature does as policy. And there are 7 of them. So the idea that somebody on the board can railroad the process and direct it to benefit one company is a little far-fetched.
But activist Nikki Sakara says Dubois could still influence the board, even if he recuses himself or abstains from votes on Nestle or Poland Spring projects. That's because the BEP is comprised of people with different areas of expertise. She says it would be very natural for other board members to lean on Dubois' insight, if not publicly, then in private discussions. And unlike other members of the BEP who have abstained from votes affecting their employers, Dubois works for a corporation that understands the trappings of influence. Nestle Waters is an active lobbying organization in the legislature, and the company has contributed over $200,000 to political action committees run by Democrats and Republicans over the last several years.
Sure, there's definitely overlap. There will be conflicts with many of those individuals, but I'm talking about the depth and the scope here. This is a different animal that we're inviting onto our board.
Dubois did not respond to a request for comment by airtime, but he'll have a chance to make a case for himself when he appears before the Environment and Natural Resources Committee on Wednesday. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
State labor officials say that 2017 ended on a positive note, with strong private sector job growth and historically low unemployment. Department of Labor economist Glenn Mills says December's preliminarily adjusted unemployment rate of 3% was down from 3.3% in November and 3.8% a year ago.
The healthcare sector continues to grow, as does professional business services, which includes a wide range of types of businesses. And we're also seeing a good stabilization of the manufacturing sector after many years of decline. The last 8 years, it's been very stable.
Mills says the state's record low unemployment rate is due to strong economic growth, both nationally and globally, and the fact that Maine has more people retiring than there are young people coming into the labor force to replace them. Mills says there are many employers who are being challenged to find the staff they need. And the state's solar power industry is not cheering President Trump's decision to impose a tariff on imported solar panels as part of a trade dispute with China. But installers here say they can weather it. Fred Bever has more.
Ever cheaper solar panels from China have helped to spur the industry's rapid expansion in the U.S. But last year, the International Trade Commission ruled that China was violating trade law by subsidizing panel manufacturers. Now, Trump is slapping a 30% tariff on most panels imported to the U.S.
It's something we've seen coming for about 9 months, and we've been planning around it.
Fortunat Mueller, co-founder of Maine's largest solar installation company, Revision Energy, says, as with many installers, the company has been stockpiling solar panels. But there's been a lot of turnover of late, so his inventory will need to be replenished.
We also have some of the strongest supply chain relationships in the country because we're part of a national solar buying cooperative. And so we purchase at very favorable prices and terms from a number of manufacturers.
Mueller and others in the industry say they do expect a general slowdown for some period of time, but not a killing blow. Von Woodruff, president of Pittsfield-based InSource Renewables, has been stockpiling too. His company will be partly insulated from the tariff, he says, because it buys from a Singapore manufacturer that uses American silicone, and Singapore is one of the few countries not captured by the tariff ruling. Still, he says, panel prices have already been rising across the board in anticipation of the tariff and are likely to go higher. Panels, he says, are only a part of the overall investment in rooftop solar systems, so the 30% tariff
may relate to a 5 to 10% increase in the total cost of the system because the modules are about a quarter of the system cost.
Woodruff adds that recent double-digit hikes in electricity supply prices in Maine are taking some of the edge off. That's because when grid-delivered electricity prices rise, the value of solar electricity made on-site rises as well, helping solar installations pay for themselves more quickly. On top of that, he notes, the tariff will drop each year and end after 4 years. Nationally, some observers say the tariff will be tougher on large grid-scale solar developers who work on tighter margins. But in Maine, officials with the largest solar electricity project ever proposed here are shrugging it off. The 75-megawatt Waterville-area project is called Dirigo Solar. Catherine Joyce is the company's legal counsel.
Now, I would say this is a little bit of a speed bump that people have to navigate around, but it's not going to make a meaningful difference in the ability to bring affordable grid-scale solar development to Maine.
The company has yet to break ground on the project, which would be phased in over the next 3 years. Last month, regulators authorized Dirigo Solar to sign a 20-year contract to supply electricity, starting at 3.4 cents per kilowatt hour. That's extremely low compared to other grid-scale projects in the Northeast and about half of what Maine residents pay now for electricity. Industry observers will be watching closely to see if, in fact, the company can come in on target, even with higher panel costs. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Tuesday, January 23rd, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.